through the gospel this morning, but the Lord redirected me to something that I should be talking about. And I guess I'll get into the other part next week. But last week I talked a bit about getting prepared and what's in store and what's going to be coming in 2005 and what we're supposed to get ready for. Well, you will find, and I mentioned earlier, that the same calling, the same commission, and the same desire the Lord would have for your life doesn't change from year to year. What it should be is a deeper and a stronger walk with your Savior, doing those things that He would have you to do, whether you understand them a little bit or you understand them a lot. The more the Lord shows you, the more the Lord reveals to you, the more deeper and more meaningful your walk becomes, and the more understanding of truth and light. Not do you understand that you are saved, that you know what took place, and how strong and how powerful that new life is in you, and what it entails. Today, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, is going to be kind of like a text this morning. He says, "Brethren, I counted not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In other words, 2005, we should be looking ahead. Everybody looks forward to what? A good and prosperous new year. Everybody makes all kinds of resolutions, and they say, "I hope this year will be better than last year. And I intend to do so much better. I tend to make different changes in my life. I want to have everything so it was a lot better this year than it was last year." And you reflect on last year, and you'll come up with a little glimpse of all the events that took place last year. You could probably invent all the events that you had in your life last year, that some of them you would like to remember, and some of them you wish you couldn't remember, and you wish you had a good memory lapse. But it is good to have hope and optimism for the future. As a Christian, we look forward to the future. We are optimistic about what is coming, and we have hope to that which we see. You know what? I've seen most backslidden Christians and all that, but one thing have I always seen in each and every one of them. I've never seen them without hope, no matter how bad a condition they were. Because they always know one thing in their heart, that no matter whatever happens to them, one day they will be with Jesus. And to me, that's the most important thing to see. But it's good to have hope and optimism. Some might have it more than others. Some are kind of bubbling, and some of them are like little children. They're bouncing off the walls with it. You know? But look at the future. Look at what things that are coming. How many remember Martin Luther King and his great speech that he made? He saw a better day coming, and he looked forward to it. He knew it was out there. Even though he never got to experience nor enjoy it, he was in the struggle of it. He saw a better day coming, and he looked forward to it, and he saw what God was showing him. He hoped for a better life, equality between all races. It is a lot better now than it was before. We look at this as amongst Christians. We hope all one day we're all walking around in heaven, holding hand in hand, the Baptist with the Catholic, and the Catholic with the Presbyterian, and everybody else. But we want to know something? That's wrong, because in heaven there's not going to be any denomination. Amen? But down here we should be. Down here we should be walking in the same thing, going forward in the same thing. In other words, if the Baptist is wrong about certain doctrinal truth, he must what? Straighten it out. And so it goes for every other denomination that does not bring themselves in line with the Word of God. And so must we, and so must you. Every one of us. We should not be so sure that we're so perfect in everything that we think that we do not need any correction, nor exhortation, nor straightening out to make our way the way God would have it. But what are you looking for in 2005, or what's in store for you? Or sometimes, like some people do, "I wish I was back in the good old days. There's not a day back then that I wish I was in." Why? Because the day is ahead of me, not behind. One thing I have found about the past You can never change it. What is past is past. And it's good for you to understand this. Because a lot of times, some of you carry baggage from 1 year to the next year. When it's 2005, understand it's 2005. It's not 2004 anymore. And a lot of Christians have a tendency to bring everything back from the other side of the cross, and they drag it around. Jesus carried the cross, and Jesus went to the cross. The Bible tells us carrying our cross, but we don't have to carry the cross that Jesus carried. In other words, all the sins of the whole world, and all everything was dependent upon Him. The past can never be changed. It's simple. If you don't believe me, try to go back and change the past. What done is yesterday is done. What is said and whatever you did yesterday can never be changed. The only thing that is in your hands is the future. And the reason why we talk about 2005, because once again, we look to 2005, and I think every year we'll look at every year, seeing what you can you do better and what is in your hands for you to do. Because one thing you don't have is you don't have the past in your hands. Every moment, just like we're talking now, 2 moments ago, you'll never have it again. You only have what's ahead of you. You cannot have what's behind. And that's how you got to live your life. Ahead, not behind. Now, the thing that is in your hands in the future is in what you're going to be the author of. What's in your power to do. Because you're going to have choices to make just the way you made all your life. And this year is not going to be any different than last year, other than you're able to make new choices and different choices. We know if we make the same choices, we get the same result, just a year differently. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 13, and I want you to see something about choices. Now, we know we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. We know we're all going to go there, and we all understand that. That's an established fact. In other words, it can never be changed. But one thing we have to understand, things that are put in our power to do. You should always remember watching this show, Lawrence of Arabia. And a young Arab fellow was talking to Lawrence. He says, it is the will of Allah. He says, this man die. He says, it is written. And Lawrence of Arabia turns to him, he says, nothing is written, he says, unless I write it. Well, I thought it was kind of an arrogant way of saying things, but in a sense he's somewhat true. God is the author of the book, and in the beginning, in the end, and everything about it, you're there. But there are certain things that are left in your hands to do. And if you catch on to this, you will find out things that God has put in your power. You have choices to make. You can do good or you can do evil when you walk out these doors. You can decide to listen to me or not to listen to me. But the choices that you make and the decisions that you do, you can never change what has happened. In other words, once you do something, there's going to be something else is going to happen to what you did. And when you do that, if you make a bad choice, in other words, you're going to be rewarded one way or the other. And some rewards you don't want to get. Because if you make a bad choice, guess what the recompense is going to be. Abraham and Lot, they were standing there. They were striving together. In other words, their herds and their shepherds and everything else was getting to be so big that they could not stay with each other. So Abraham tells the Lot, look out wherever you want and you choose which way you want to go. You sit here in church. You've probably been to a myriad of other churches. You can walk out the doors and you can go decide to go to the left hand or to the right hand. You can go to this church, you can go to that church, and there's nothing there that's going to stop you. God will talk to you about what you should be doing, but God will not stop you. Sometimes He does intervene in some people's lives, but sometimes we are left to make choices. So Abraham and Lot standing there, Genesis 13, verse 8 to 11. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. So it was a beautiful place. Lot saw what? Nice, wonderful things. Verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Now, did Lot make a good choice? History bears out that Lot made a poor decision. He looked and said, this is where I'm going to go. Now this place was plush, lush, and beautifully full of sin, because Sodom and Gomorrah was there. And in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality and lesbianism was fully flourishing. And you know how the story went. Did Lot make a good choice? I say no. But Lot decided to what to do. The choices we made before ought not to be held on, but changed. Because if you hang on to the old things and the old ways, what you do is you drag yourself and they hinder you and they pull you down. I think we ought to do what the Bible tells us concerning decisions and choices that we made and we found that they were bad. The best thing to do about that is not go the same way in which we did. In other words, every year you do the same thing. And every year you get the same, pretty much the same result, just at a later time. Because one thing about history, if we do what it says, it's like a circle or a vicious cycle. The same result. If I put my hand here and take a hammer and hit it, it will hurt me. If I go 6 months from now, after my hand is all healed, and I put my hand there and I take the hammer and I hit it, it's still going to hurt me. No great concept, no great intelligence, but go back with me to Philippians chapter 3. You see, if your choices in that you are making and the decisions that you've been doing have never been the right ones, then why keep doing the same ones over and over again? And the reason why I say that, in 2005, but not just 2005, any day, you have opportunity and you have things that are in your power that you can change, and you can write your own book because you are the author of what you do. God has led parameters and guidelines and things in there. But it's going to be a chapter in your book of what you write. Because every one of you will give me a story. Every one of you will tell me your life. Every one of you will give me your autobiography. We all do it. When we sit down, how did you get saved? And you start going through it all. And you flip through the pages of your mind and you bring out all these things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before. In other words, what is back there is back there. Now, you have to understand, there are certain things that you can and cannot do. One thing you cannot do is you cannot change the past. The only thing you can do is what's in your future and what God says you can do and you're allowed to do. You find many choices in front of you. In other words, if you do the same things, you find out history will tell you, if I do such and such, this will be my result. So if I follow the same way these people do, this is going to be my result. In other words, when I take the hammer and smash my hand, it is going to hurt. And I keep doing it, it is going to get the same result. It is going to hurt. But think about this, about the choices and the choosing. And here's something I find really unique. We are given choices and able to choose what we can and cannot do. And yet God has done the same thing. He could choose whom He wanted. He could make a choice of what He wanted. And yet He chose you. Knowing your past, your present, and your future. God chose you. Don't ever think that you ever chose Him. This was not in your power. Because you'd have to be at the beginning of time, before creation. Because in the beginning He called you. Before anything was, He called you by name. And He saw you in His foreknowledge. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15, verse 16. Very, very simple. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. But what is in us, our power, is choose you this day whom you will serve. That is in your power. It's got nothing to do with eternal life. It's got everything to do with your walk with Christ. And I think sometimes we fall short or we forget why we were called and who called us and what it was all about. And we kind of lose sight of what's ahead of us. Because we're still stuck way behind. We're supposed to be looking at what is ahead. What is in the past is in the past. So we must do what the Word of God tells us. You can't sit and dwell on, well, I should have, I could have, I would have, I might have. You didn't. But you have to look at now what I'm going to do. Forgetting those things which are behind. You have a history of sins. You have a history of failures. You have a history of poor decisions, and you have a history of poor judgment. And you've probably done some good things in the way, along the way, but you probably remember more of the bad than you do the good. It's true. Human nature is like that. Tell me, when you get in an argument with your wife, what do you think about? Every bad thing she's done. Husband, wife, what do you think? Everything bad thing the husband ever said to you. You don't get in an argument and say, you know, I remember the good things that you did for me. You remember every bad thing. Or am I just the only one that thinks like that? No. See, we're all tied to the same stick. We all come from the same tree. And we're no different one from the other. We might look differently, but when it really comes down to it, we're all humans. And basically, the same characteristics we might have. Some might be a little bit more different than others, but it's pretty much the same. But we got to look now is ahead, forward. Learn from your mistakes and learn from your failures. Because one thing about the past is a good history lesson of what not to do. But for some reason, human nature likes to go full cycle. In other words, he keeps like to repeating the same thing over and over again, and he never learns. Studying history, Adolf Hitler should have known he should never went to Russia. Because Napoleon never made it. And a lot of armies were destroyed. You, dear Christian, have to understand that the way you go and the way you think that is right in your own eyes will bring you to ruin and will destroy you. History tells you that. That you got to follow God and you got to walk with God in the way He sets forth. Because He has a perfect mind, He is always right, and he always tells us something good. And we think we always know better. In Philippians chapter 3, I think you still got to turn back there, please, again for a moment. Now, you always wonder, why would there be an Old Testament? I heard people tell me, you know what, we don't live in the Old Testament anymore, so we shouldn't have that. But why do we have a complete Bible? Why do we have from the beginning to the end? You cannot go somewhere unless you know where you came from. And you cannot know where you're going to be headed to unless you have a beginning. Now, the Bible is there for a history lesson to show you and tell you what happens to people and what they do. And what is the result to them. Also, it shows you those who progressively go forward and those who walk with the things of Christ, what their lives and what they receive. Because you read in the Old Testament, you're going to find where there was trouble, and you will find that there was really good things happening there. Wonderful things. The people were blessed and they prospered. And you see a place where the people suffered. But every time they suffered, what was it for? A lot of times it was just because of their own stupidity and what they were doing. So in Philippians 3, the last part of the 13th verse, he says, one thing I do, look at what it says there, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching for unto those things which are before. What is before you? What is set before you? Well, I have a career, I have a life and all this. This is well and good because God is probably directing you that way. But that means you forget the Lord and everything he has for you and his morals and his values and the ways to walk with him. Baloney. I've got a new husband. I got all this and I got all that and I got everything. But the Lord, that's all you just care about. No. What is before you never changes. What is set up in front of your eyes can never be taken away. Not behind, but what is ahead. Remember Lot and his children and his wife when they went out from Sodom and Gomorrah? What were they told? Don't look back. You made sins. You did things wrong. Okay. Don't look back now. Don't go back there. I know it's hard to do. Because your mind doesn't run away with you. But don't let your mind overrun your heart where you are going back. Sometimes it's good to burn your bridge or get a good shovel and dig it out so you can't get across again. You can never go back that way because you're going to find out when you come to the brink of when you come to the other, there's nothing behind there and there's nothing there for you because you can never go back. You could never go back into the world and become a lost sinner. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot change that. You cannot change that past. The only thing you got ahead of you is the future and what you have in Christ. This is something you're going to find out in Christ Jesus, that when the Lord has for you, it's still ahead and there's a lot more for you. The best is yet to come for you. And we lose sight of that. So we kind of sit in a vicious little cycle and we kind of just sit there and 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 let it eat us up. There's pressure out there for you to give up, throw in the towel and surrender to the pressures of wickedness. You're not going through anything different than anybody else ever went through. And you're not going through anything through. It was much easier back in the day. Was it back easier in Elijah's day? No. What did they want to do with Elijah? They wanted to kill him. Was it different than it was in Jesus' day? No, it was no different. It was just as hard to serve the Lord then as it is now. There was just as much pressure for it to resist you than there is now. Everything is there. You just think, well, it's only me or it's only things that I go through. You have to understand, the enemy of righteousness does not want you to go forward. Remember, it says to press forward. Now, if you're pressing forward, it means must be what? There must be resistance. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you must look at your walk with God as a race. And there's a mark that is ahead of you. And you're running for a prize. It is the greatest prize that you will ever get. It is the greatest prize that you'll ever receive. What a wonderful thing to have. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, look at what it says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What was he telling Timothy? The same thing the Apostle Paul in the epistles we read today means to us. Fight the good fight of faith. Press on. Don't give up. Keep going forward. Don't look back. There's where you're going, not there. I'm serving the Lord. Really? No. People think, instead of the Lord getting big, he's so far away. Well, which way are you going? Remember, to press on, everything is against you. No matter what happens, pressure is there to resist you and push you back. We think the devil's going to sit there, oh, no, no, I just let you, you can get through now because you're just so good. He's there to resist you and everything that you do. Philippians chapter 3, let's look at the next part of the verse, the other part of that verse, and see something. Because if it's 2006, 2007, 2008, this thing is still going to stand. You got to press forward and you still got to go ahead. It never says go back. Go backward. Philippians 3 verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward. In other words, I'm pushing. I'm looking to go. Your goal has never changed. Where you are headed in life is where you're supposed to be going. If you're not heading in that direction and looking for Christ, that mark, that high calling, that prize, then like they said, you took your eye off the ball. And if you take your eye off the ball, guess what? Somebody's going to hit you right between the eyes. That's every time it happens. Every time you take your eyes off the things of God, Satan comes along and he lambastes you. Colossians chapter 3. Let us look at this one. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Verse 1 to 4. If ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are below, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. But that's what you do. Now, maybe I'll say this again. That's not what it says. I know, but that's what you do. And we ought not to be doing that. We should be looking for what? Things above. A high calling means you walk in higher ground. You don't walk in the muck and the mire in the slime pits with everybody else and do the same things. Oh, I love the brethren, and then go there and knife them in the back. Or you sit there and gossip, or you fleece, or you cheat, or you steal from somebody. Or from each other. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Look where you're going. Look at where you're going. Know where you came from, that you'll never go back that way again. God wants you to fulfill the calling of God in your life. This is what your eyes should be on. Put your sight on it and don't take it away from the mark, from that target. Do I have a high calling? Yeah. I haven't heard of any low callings yet. I don't know if there's any low callings. Do you know of any low callings? I don't know of any low callings. What is a low calling? He is high and lifted up. He says, I will draw all men unto me. We walk in the high places of God. So our calling is a high calling, each and every one of us. Well, I'm insignificant. You might be insignificant to me or to others, but in the eyes of God to whom we deal with, you are not insignificant and you have a high calling. Now, I believe God before I believe you or what I think. Because I'm not here to sit here and judge what you're to do for the Lord, but that you are to do something for the Lord and not for yourself. Colossians chapter 4. Remember I said you have choices and the decisions that you make, things are put in your power. Because in the end of the days, when they do the eulogy of you, they will talk about you and they will say this and this and this and the accomplishments that you have done in your life. Whether they're good, whether they're bad. I've never seen very, very few funerals where anybody said anything really bad about anybody when they had passed on. They always try to look for the good things in them. But there's always a history and a story about them. Now, if we put it down on paper and we put a cover upon it, we call it a book, a story of someone's life, biography or whatever. But you're going to find that you're the one that is writing in the pages. But everything that you do and every decision that you make, good or bad. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So what's that got to do? It's got everything to do with, because it says to Archippus, or whatever his name is, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. In other words, you must do it. If you do not do what God has called you to do, who will do it? In other words, you must do what God has said for you to do, and you alone are the only one that can do it, because it's all about you. Some things are left in your hands, and you must choose to press on to do what God has called you to do and what you should do. See, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be a preacher? Okay, we'll throw the preacher aside. Am I supposed to be some great prophet? We'll throw the prophet aside. Every one of us is supposed to live for Christ. Every one of us is supposed to seek those things which are risen and seek those things above. Every one of us is supposed to live a godly life. Every one of us is supposed to love his brother. Isn't that a high calling? Every one of us is supposed to walk in spiritual gifts. Oh, I don't believe that, I know. And the choice you make will show. Because the chapter will be left out. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and the things that you've done for Christ will be left out. It'll be blank. If you wrote down how many blessings and promises you received of the Lord and all the wonderful gifts, how much would you have in your book? You are the author of it. Why? He says, you receive. You speak in tongues. You prophesy. You lay hands on the sick. Where does it say God does that? He gives you power and authority to do so. Bear out what you've done. History has borne out what the churches have done throughout all the years. Some good things and some bad. Read the church ages. The seven church ages in Revelation. And you see where they did wrong and where they did good. God expects better of you, and he takes no pleasure in quitting. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Because you are to walk with him. You are to serve him. Say, no preacher's going to tell me what to do. I know. Neither will the Lord tell you what to do either. That's the problem. If you won't listen to the word, and you won't listen to the preacher that tells you the word, neither will you listen, though he be standing here in front of you. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Hebrews 10, verse 35 to 38. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You know, when you run the race, you win at the end, if you do what the race says. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Do you want to go back? God is not pleased if you go back. He takes no pleasure in what his children do outside of the things he'd have us to do. God was not pleased. Many were overthrown in the wilderness. They did pleasures, but their own pleasures. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God takes no pleasure in our sins. You ever hear God say, go ahead, Johnny, sin some more. I just love it when you do that. Tell me, when your children do bad, or when you do something wrong, you know everybody say, stop that? Don't do that? But just keep on doing it. See, this is some of the theology some Christians and preachers happen to be teaching at churches. Well, you can do anything you want for Jesus. You can just live whatever way you want to do, and everything's okay. Just do it all for the Lord. Well, that's what he did in the time they were in Baal and every other thing. We have perimeters and things that we ought to be doing, but we will find there's a lot of things that are put in our hands. In other words, we are accountable for it, and we make our choices. 2005 is a lot of choices to make. Every day is a choice to make. Every morning that you get up, there's a choice to make. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why? Well, if they're not pleased and God was not pleased, and it's impossible to please God but by faith, what were they doing? They weren't believing God's word. They weren't doing what he says. So in other words, they went and did whatever they felt like doing. And when you're seeing a sinner happy, oh, he's having fun. Yeah. We used to find it really fun when we raided somebody's garden in the middle of the night till we got caught. But there's a funny thing about when you go and sin. It seems to be more fun and more pleasure doing that than anything else, knowing that you're going to get in trouble. But there's no fun. There's always the fear, always the threat, always the time when you're going to get... It is impossible to please him. So if you're not walking by faith, believing and seeing those things that are ahead of you, and that's what happens to us. We lose sight of the mark, we lose sight of the prize, and we start looking at other things and we take our eye off the ball. And I hear that so many times in the elections in the U.S., he dropped the ball. He took his eye off the ball. He took his eye off this and he took his eye. Well, in a sense, we're talking a thing. If you do take your eye off the thing that you're supposed to be paying attention to, you take your eye off the road, okay? Now, don't look at the road. Just look at your wife and talk to her. Or you ladies, if you happen to have a friend in your car, talk to somebody else and don't keep your eye on the road and go out on the highway. I guarantee you, the time you leave Red River or John Street Road, by the time you hit Arthur Street, I know where you'll be, and I know what have happened to you. You've been in an accident or in a ditch or whatever. Don't do it. You said, oh, I don't want to be responsible for anybody's, but that's exactly what will happen. Now, we understand this naturally. Do you not think that the same thing would go to us spiritually? The same principle must apply. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 and 19, it says this. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Provoke heart. Well, with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that would believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And because they would not listen, because they did not believe, they ended up not completing. The Bible talks about Everybody wants the prize. But the Bible talks about this in this way. Everybody wants the prize, but nobody wants to go through what you must do to obtain it. Many are called and few are chosen. Why? Every one of us is called who make it through. Because halfway we say, you know what? I'm getting a little tired of this. I've been waiting for years and God has not done anything for me in Him. I'm turning a page and now I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. Or God wants me to run, but I'm going to run my own race. And I'm going to do it my way. You know, like Elvis when he sang, when he finally died, he says, I did it my way. That's right, you did do it your way. And where did it bring you? You want to go somewhere for Jesus? There's only one way you can go, not back. The call is to go forward and to walk higher in a higher place. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's get a history lesson. I love history. You're not walking a way that is different than anybody else. If you read in the Old Testament, the children of Israel told not to sin and go into idolatry and not do what people did around them today. The Bible tells us not to walk in the unclean thing, to be in the world, but not be part of the world. There's no difference in there and there. You want to know something? You disobey, the same result is we end up and we die in our sins and our life is hell. That's history. Because you're going to find things will go on with you or without you. The world will go on whether you're walking in this world or you're buried and you're dead. It still goes on. Jeremiah 7 verse 23 to 26. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God. And you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. You know what it said? All the ways. You just don't do some of the ways. We just don't believe some of the things. We just don't walk in whatever things we like. That's what I like about the way he says all. It's about time every one of us caught on to that, no matter what denominational background you've been hanging out in. Because there's some that don't like to walk in all the things of God. They only like some things. But we know, if we only eat potatoes and nothing else with it, we'll be, Mommy, have your salads. You just can't live on a chunk of meat all your life. Right? No. We know that. We understand that. You need to drink. Verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of the evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Went backward and not forward. Verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, you think? No. No. If you have an ear to hear, you can hear what the Spirit is saying. We figure if we take a big jar of cotton and stuff it in our ears, we won't hear God. But then you'd have to be dead. For the simple reason, He will talk to your heart. And you'll see it on a billboard. And when you open the Bible, it'll talk to you.